You know, we are teaching through this series called Hearing God, and really the goal is to establish in us this idea that God, not only does he speak to us, but that he desires to speak to us. That his voice should be the most important voice that we listen to. We live in the internet world and realm and this age of technology where there are more voices coming into our heads than ever before. You can turn on the radio and there's AM and FM and Sirius XM or whatever there are. It used to be Sirius and XM and now they combined. Whatever. Don't look at me, Lauren. There's all these things, all these podcasts and all YouTubes. Like there's all these things of voices that are getting in our head. And I find that it is easier for us to turn on one of those things and try to figure out what God is saying instead of just sitting still and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? We're much more apt to go, man, let me just turn on this preacher. Let me look at this live stream. Let me listen to this podcast. Let me listen to this so that I can hear what the Lord is saying through them to me and I can filter it out and I can make it work. But honestly, you were made and designed to hear the voice of God straight from him. Anything that I say, and it's going to be through my own opinions and like as even as I desire to only say what he tells me to say, there are still things that I'm going to say that are going to be wrong or are skewed from my perspective, from my life. The goal is to us to just be able to sit down with him and go, Father, what do you want to say to me today? Father, how do you want me to spend my money? Not that podcasts and these things are bad, but we turn it on and we take the advice of man and God uses man. I know that, but what if we, before we turned on those podcasts, before we listen to those things, what if we just said, Lord, how do you want me to give? How do you want me to spend my time? How do you want me to parent my kid? What is right for my family? Do you want me to take this job or not take this job? But so often the first thing to do is to go listen to what someone else has to say. But we live in a society that values busyness where we were created for stillness and peace with the voice of the Father. And so what we want to try to talk about and what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks is how can we reject society and culture and go, man, that busyness is not for me. I just want to sit down and see what the Father has to say, right? Like that I can hear him just as clearly as the pastor, as a prophet, as the best person out there that you look up to and you listen to them and you're like, man, that is so good. The best preacher out there pales in comparison to just one word from the Lord. You can listen to hundreds and thousands of sermons and they can be so good. But when the Lord just whispers one word, one phrase, one sentence, everything will change. And so that's what we want to do is we want to begin to cultivate that. How do we become a people that hear him, that listen to him? Because hearing is not about volume. It's about our posture. The quieter that you get on the inside, the clearer he will become. Hearing God is not about volume, but it's about our posture. Have you ever talked to anyone, and if you are a parent of a preteen or a teen, you'll be able to nod your head and go, yeah, absolutely. Have you ever been talking to someone and they are clearly not listening? Like disinterested in everything that you want to say, and they can be present but not listening. You know, you can be trying to have a conversation with somebody and you can just tell by their posture if they're listening or not. Right? If they're looking at a phone while you're trying to talk, and this isn't just preteens or teens, this could also go to spouses or wives or husbands, maybe. just saying, just trying to apply it all across the board here. And if you're talking and they're looking at a screen, they're not listening. If they're talking and they're fidgeting, they're not listening. If you're talking and they're looking away, arms crossed. Have you? Yeah, Tony, thank you. That was Tony had his arms crossed. Like, nope, not me, right? Arms crossed, right? Typically, that means that I'm not open to receive what you're saying. Like, I've already made up my mind, keep talking, go ahead, whatever. I'm not listening. We were in a staff meeting at the last church that I was at, the Brock campus. Sometimes staff meetings can get a little intense, all right? We're just people. I was not involved in this intenseness one time. This one time. Two people were trying to figure something out, and they just were coming at it completely opposite. And I will never forget. The guy, he's not the pastor. He was on staff there. He goes, okay, just talk. And did that in staff meeting. I was like, oh my gosh. Right? Like, you can tell when someone does this, they're not listening, right? And so what we're talking about is hearing is not just about volume. It's about how do I posture myself. What we want to look at is that posture is called humility. You know, that our body language can show whether or not we're listening. When you sit up, when you lean in, or when you face someone, what you're doing is you're telling your brain, this matters. And sometimes it takes. Yesterday, I had three kids with me for about 7 minutes, and they asked, it had to have been 400 questions. And I'm just like, man, I don't even, like, hey, let's just play the quiet game. Let's practice stillness right now, all right? I'm going to teach you guys something. But what I found is that I had to, like, actually turn and face them, because if not, my mind could wander off. And so what we're talking about today is that our posture is so important, and the posture is humility. Just like physically, with your physical body, bad posture can lead to other issues, right? So if you have bad posture, it can lead to poor circulation and a heart issues. And the same can be said spiritually. If we have a bad posture spiritually, it'll lead to other heart issues. You see, humility is the posture which enables us to hear God's voice. God has not stopped speaking. We just have to posture ourselves to hear him. You can turn with me. This one will be quick. I just got a few scriptures, not like lengthy, all of them, but Psalm 25:9. Yeah, and they should all be up there on the screen. This is great. It says, Psalm 25:9, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. Like, for me, like, when I study and I'm reading through scripture, for me, the Lord always just kind of like brings a couple of words out of it. And so I'm big on finding the words and what they mean and what they're really saying. And right here it says, when he leads the humble in what is right. That word leads, in the Hebrew language, it means like bending a bow, like an archer. We saw Samantha was up there. One of your pictures was her bending a bow, right? But you have this idea. He leads the humble in what is right. It's an interesting word to be translated to us that says he leads, when the picture that the Hebrews would have had would be of a bow being bent. getting ready to fire an arrow. But if you think about it, as he's teaching us, he's bending the bow, he's stretching us, he's preparing us. So like when the archer pulls back, what you're doing, the archer, and I'm not a real smart guy, so don't, but like when you pull it back, like it's stored energy so that when he releases, it goes forth with significant force. This idea that he leads the humble in what is right. It's this picture of an archer, the Lord, bending a bow, teaching us so that we're the arrow whenever he releases us. There's significant force behind us. We make an impact. Where sometimes this idea where he teaches the humble, that stretching is like, oh man, that's uncomfortable. But that stretching allows us to have energy that's stored up so that when he releases us, we get to go and hit our mark. That word teaches. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. It's this idea of, it's called a goad, and it's what they would lead like an ox with. And it was a rod, but then it also had a hook on the end of it. And so it's this idea. He teaches them the way, like he's showing them the way. He's goading them into the way that they're supposed to go. And sometimes that teaching, like I want to think of Jesus teaching me as just like, you know, carrying me in his arms and I get to go through all the bad stuff and he's going to just teach me and here we go and bam, I get to the end of it. But sometimes I'm like an ox and I need to be prodded in the right direction. And if we're humble when he prods us in the right direction, then we adjust. And the beauty of that picture is that in order to prod us, in order to lead us with the goad, is what that he has to be this close to us. Where sometimes God can feel far away, the beauty of that passage is it shows that God is there with us in the middle. Even though he's teaching us and leading us, he's stretching us, he's directing our paths, he's right there. You ever buy anything from IKEA? Man, that is the opposite of being there with you, right? Like, hey, here's some instructions with some weird words, and we're going to call everything different, and we're going to send you some blurry pictures, and we're just going to throw in some extra parts just to make you go nuts, right? Like, here you go. That's not how the Lord does it. The humble, he leads them. He teaches them. And you see the opposite of this verse. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. The opposite is found in James, where it says that God, what, he opposes the proud, but gives grace, mercy to the humble. You see that when we have this posture of humility, that God is teaching us, he is leading us, he is directing us. But when our posture is that of pride, then we are actually going against him. We are opposed to what he is trying to do in our lives. And then we're like, God, where are you? Why can't I hear you? And the whole time it's because I don't really want to hear you. I just want to hear you say, keep going that way, even if it's wrong. I would just want you to bless my way and my path and my ideas and my desires. I'm not really looking for the voice of the Father. I'm looking for a yes man to just say, oh yeah, it's good, keep going. Humility is the posture that enables us to hear God's voice. There's this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 3. When we begin to look at that, humility is this posture, the heart posture that of openness, of surrender, and of spiritual poverty. And so for us to be open, if we're going to be humble, the first thing that we have to do is to be open. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, you have this boy, and I mentioned this just briefly 2 weeks ago, but you have this boy, Samuel, whose mom dedicated him to the temple, and so he spends all his time in the temple. Eli's the high priest, and he's there, and he watches over the boy. And actually, in this verse 1 of this same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in this day. And in the, when it's telling the story, 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord keeps going, Samuel, and he keeps running to Eli. Eli, what do you need? He's like, it's not me. I didn't say anything. The Lord says, Samuel. He says, so he runs to Eli. Eli, what do you need? What can I do for you? And there's nothing. And finally, the third time, Eli says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back, lay down. And when you hear your name, I want you to just say this. Say, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So this is a boy that's 12, 13 years old at the time. He doesn't understand it all. He thought it was Eli three times, and Eli's like, I don't know what's going on either. And then finally Eli, who's the priest, is like, hey, I think I know what's happening now. Go lay down. I think the Lord's trying to say something to you. And Samuel goes, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel had no clue what was going on. But he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Humility is a willingness to listen and obey even without understanding everything. That word, it says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That word in Hebrew is shama. It's not just like hearing sounds. It's a loaded word. It means to hear with attention, to listen intently, to obey. So when Samuel says, speak, Lord, your servant is here with attention, I'm going to listen intently and I'm going to obey. What's interesting is in Hebrew, there was not a separate word for obey and hear. They were always connected. To hear means to listen and obey. Sometimes you can be talking to kids, and Ollie's here. Ollie is, you know, sometimes you'll say something to Ollie and it's like, hey, buddy, can you do that? And there's no response. And I'm like, hey, did you hear me? And he goes, I said, okay. I'm like, no, you didn't. First of all, no, you didn't. Second of all, you're still sitting there playing Minecraft. So I need you to get up and obey, because there's no separation. Like Samuel doesn't go, Lord, speak, and man, if that really speaks to me and that really ministers to me, then I will get up and I will obey. Like if I'm not in the middle of a Minecraft game, then Lord, I will obey and I'll do it. No, Samuel goes, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. You don't truly hear unless you respond. Samuel says, I'm listening. And he says, whatever you say, I'll do. And that's humility, a posture of openness before even understanding. I think back on Noah, where the Lord's like, hey, I want you to build an ark. There, flood's coming. And he builds an ark. 120 years later, the rains come. You think of Abraham, who the Lord says, hey, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, your country, everything that you're familiar with, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Not, hey, I want you to pack up, it's a 3-day or 3-month journey, and here's where you're going. He says, I want you to pack up and leave everything that you know, and I'm going to show you where you're going to go. I think of Mary, who her world is turned upside down, and all her response is, may it be done unto me as you have said, Lord. And then he tells me, hey, instead of going here, I want you to go there. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know about that. Like, what? Are you sure? Because really, if I go there, they've got what I need here, here, and here. And even when he tells me where he wants me to go, I still question that. Humility says, even when I don't know the next step, the next 7 steps, I'm going to obey you. What blocks hearing God is not silence, but it's pride. Pride closes our ears, but humility opens them. When we assume that we already know, when we're closed off to being challenged, when we're unteachable, then that's when it seems that we can't hear his voice. And we're like, Lord, what's going on? Why have you abandoned me? Why? And he's sitting there going, what? You really don't want to hear what I have to say. I've been saying it over and over. And you think you know better. Have you ever tried to tell your kids how to do something? And you're trying to give them the instructions and the directions, and they're just like, yeah, Dad, I know, I got it. And you're like, no, I know, but I want you to understand this. And they're like, Dad, I know. I'm like, okay, I'll just sit back and I'll wait 3 minutes because I know you're going to be right back here because you're not listening to me. Why? Because they think that they know what's better. And how many times is God saying, hey, I want you to do this and this and this. And you're like, Lord, I got it. I got it. I know. I just needed the first part. I can figure the rest out. And he's saying, no. Okay, I'll just wait. You'll come back. Me and Hattie, last week we were, this isn't bad. This is good. All right. Hattie's always nervous about me calling her out in service. Last week, we went a different way home, and I was driving, and you see a sign, road closed, and I was like, no, this is probably, it's a weekend, they're not working, whatever, and it's like, road closed a little bit up the road, and it's like, road closed, and after like the fourth one, I was like, I wonder if the road is really closed, or if they're just, and I was like, I don't think it is, and Hattie's not paying attention, and I'm like, we'll see. I said, I bet it's open. And get up a little further, and you know what? That road is closed. They had four signs, and I was like, I bet it's open. Or, it says road closed to through traffic, so that means you can get through if you live in that area, and I don't live in that area, but that means that you can still kind of get through there. And that's what's going on in my head. And honestly, how many times do we come in our walk and our journey with the Lord, and we're walking along, and it's like road closed, and you're like, oh no, Lord, it's not really closed, is it? Like it's okay for me. Like for everybody else, that's probably not acceptable. I'll just keep going. I don't know how long this mic will go without, feedback. And it's like, oh, road closed. And you're like, no. I mean, that's Tony. He had his arms crossed earlier. He wasn't listening. I'm following you, Lord. I know you. You wouldn't lead me down this road. You love me, right? And you come up and it's like, road closed. It's like, Lord, this is weird. There's the feedback. Lord, this is weird. The road seems to be closed, but I'm pretty sure that I can go on this. And time again, we're thinking, Lord, what's going on? And he's saying, I'm telling you, the road is closed. You just think that you know better. And we're like, Lord, why are you not speaking to me? Why can I not hear you? And he's saying, I put four signs, dummy. Four signs, and you still thought that you knew better than me. Humility, being open, means this, that we have to be willing to be wrong. I have to be willing to go, Lord, I thought I knew better than you in that instance. In that situation, I really thought that I had that one planned out better than you, and I was wrong. It means being willing to ask more questions than make statements. Humility and openness looks like this in our prayers. Humility will ask more questions than make statements. I mean, we've got this prayer list, and like we're praying and declaring and decreeing and we're doing all these things, but what if our prayer just said, instead of going, Lord, just bless this next step in this job, this promotion for me. It's going to be good. I know it's probably going to take some time away from my family, but they're going to be better off without me being there, and whatever, this and that. But what if instead of just making all those statements, we just said, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? It's a lot easier to just ask one question instead of having to make 14 statements to try to justify you going down a road that's already been closed. Humility is sitting still long enough to hear beyond your own thoughts. Openness means this right here, that God, you can say anything you want to me, and I won't argue, I'll just obey. Humility is that right there. Here, there's another passage that we look at for surrender in Proverbs 3:5. Jacob said it. It's still in my sermon notes. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. So we talk about humility. The posture of humility is one that is open, that goes, Lord, you know way more than I do. And then the second posture of humility is surrender, that says, I'm not going to rely on my own understanding, but I'm going to trust you. And see, this verse often gets quoted when we're talking about direction and where to go and what to do, right? Like, lean not on your own understanding, trust in the Lord. But this idea of lean, it means to support yourself on or to rely on something. So when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding, or a lot of versions will say do not lean on your own understanding, that means do not support yourself with your own understanding. Do not rely on, do not depend on your own understanding. You see, that God guides surrendered people, not perfect people, surrendered ones. Hearing God isn't just with your ears and about your ears. It's about your heart being in alignment with Him. Who are you trusting? Who are you submitting to? Lean, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. All of these things point to surrender. Laying down my thoughts, my opinions, my desires, my goals, my wisdom, and going, man, Lord, I'm not going to rely on this. I'm going to rely on you. That word for submit, we don't have it a whole lot of times, and especially in the Greek, that's not something, submission, that was really like, you know, enjoyed by people. It's not something that they really wanted to talk up a whole lot. But that submission, it comes from that James chapter 4 where it says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The very next verse, it talks about submitting to Him. And it's a military term. It means to rank under, to yield authority, to bring yourself low under leadership. And see, we don't like that, to be brought low. We want to be in charge. We think that we're the commander and then God's the soldier and He goes out and does all the things. But the truth is, to submit means, Lord, you're in charge. I'll do whatever you ask. We don't like that because we want God to bless our plans and our timing. It's like, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. Have you ever noticed how many things that we just trust and we don't even have to think about? Like when you sat down in that chair today, did you take measurements and know the material and the things that made up, and to go, man, if I sit down, this chair is going to hold me because I've done the calculations. I know that it's going to work. No, none of y'all did. Y'all just what? You just sat down. You trusted that it was going to work. But can you imagine that we trust that a chair is going to hold us up? We trust that when we push on that door, that it's going to open. We trust in all of these little things, but yet the God of the universe, who knew you before He formed you in your mother's womb, who knows the number of hairs on your head or on your beard, right? He knows all of those things about you. He's done everything for you. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to do that. And you're like, oh man, Lord, I don't know. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're talking about? Have you done this? Like, the Lord that was before the beginning of the time, and He was the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, like all of those things. And yet God says, hey, I want you to do that. And you're like, yeah, okay, but if I do that, we start running calculations. Okay, so if I do that, I have to give up this time and I don't get this much time on Minecraft. Or if I give up this money or I give up this, you want me to go volunteer and help things? Well, this is what I have to give up. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I trust you. But yet we'll come sit down in a chair that doesn't know you, didn't form you in your mother's womb, and we will just plop down. Some of y'all a little too aggressive sometimes, but it's another sermon, right? But you just sit down and you just trust, right? It's there. But the God of the universe tells you something and you're like, that's crazy, God. Why? Because we still think that we know better. Jesus, in the garden on the night that he's handed over to suffering and death, he says, Father, if it's your will, take this cup. But not my will, yours be done. I mean, Jesus is sweating drops of blood. And he prays, Lord, if you're willing, would you take this? But if not, it's okay. Your will be done, not mine. That's surrender. That's humility. And in that place, angels come, strength comes, and heaven speaks. Pride assumes that we know best, but humility acknowledges that God's wisdom is greater. Some of the clearest revelations come when you finally surrender the outcome. Have you ever noticed that? Some of the clearest revelations come when you finally surrender the outcome. When you finally go, okay, Lord, you can have it. Then it's like the last 17 puzzle pieces all fit perfectly into place. You're like, oh. But it's not until you finally surrender that all of it comes into perspective. It's terrifying. Surrender? To give up control? Why? Because we trust our ability more than we trust the Lord. To just go, Lord, okay, I just give it to you. And not in the way where you know, you're trying to help your kids and they won't listen to you. And you're just like, or actually probably like at this stage in my life, it can go for my parents or my kids or my parents. You know, like my parents is with technology. And you're like, hey, mom, I just can't do it anymore. I don't know. I've shown you 19 times. It's the power button. That's all. It's just one button. And it does everything for you. And it's not in that way where you're just like, all right, fine, you take over. No, it's where you surrender and humbly go, Lord, man, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to give it to you and I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. You see, a lot of times we'll fake surrender. We'll say, Lord, yeah, man, if you do that, then I'll go all in. If I can see you move in that, then great. Or I give you everything except this one area. Instead of surrender, it turns into like a negotiation. And the Lord doesn't negotiate with pride. Because when you're negotiating, it's pride. You're trying to say, no, if I can do this. No, he doesn't negotiate with pride. He invites surrender. Here's the last one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Humility is a posture, is a heart posture of openness, of surrender, and of spiritual poverty. And he says right here, Jesus, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The very first part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is ushering in the new kingdom, the very first thing that he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because only those who know that they're poor will listen for God's voice. You know, we're talking about this idea means to be poor in spirit, utterly destitute, totally dependent, bankrupt, and begging. It's this idea that says, God, I don't have what I need unless you give it. You want to hear the voice of God more clearly than you ever have before? Then be poor in spirit. If you think you don't need him, you'll never listen to a word he has to say. If you think you've got it all figured out, then why listen? In your mind, it's just a waste of time. But he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Yesterday, I went to go see, y'all remember Josh and Lulu that were here? They had their baby, and her name is Luna. And Luna, she's in Cook's right now, kind of in the NICU. Her lungs aren't as strong as they need to be, although today he texted me last night and said she's doing a lot better right now. She got to have a bath, and Lulu was able to do the skin-to-skin with Luna and was really improving. But when I went there yesterday, Luna is on all the cords, all the things are plugged in. Like, she's utterly dependent on those machines for her next breath. And do I view myself as that with God? Or am I the guy that's unplugging all the things and checking myself out of the hospital because I'm fine? Which one are you? Because you're either one or the other. You either come to that point where you go, Lord, I can't take my next breath without you. I don't want to take my next step. I don't want to make my next decision without you. Or you say, Lord, would you get out of my way? I'm fine. I know what I'm doing. This is what I've always done, and it's gotten me this far, and I'm doing just fine. Because you're either one or the two. You're either poor in spirit or you're full of yourself. Jesus, in Revelation, he's writing these seven letters to these churches, and to the church in Laodicea, he says, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor. They thought they had everything. And Jesus said, no, you're actually wretched, you're pitiful, and you're poor. You see, pride deafens us. God speaks to the hungry, to the desperate, to the humble, because they're the ones that are actually listening. Poverty creates space. The more confident we are in ourselves, the less space we give to God. The more confident we are in ourselves, the less space we give to God. Because we do all that we can, and we're like, all right, here we go. I can put all these pieces together. I can do all of this, and then I'll give you the very last part that I can't figure out. But that poverty of our spirit says, Lord, I could probably put this together. I could probably make it work, but I'm not sure how, or it might take me longer. Instead of even starting to try to figure out, I'm just going to give it over to you. And I'm going to let you put it together. Poverty of spirit recognizes that we have nothing to offer. It would be like asking a waitress for a refill when your cup is full. There's no room. And when you're full of yourself, when you're full of pride and your opinion and your ideas, it's like you're coming to God and your cup is already full and you're like, hey, Lord, what do you have for me? And he's like, there's no space for me. You've got it all figured out. I'll let you just run with it. You've got it. Apparently, you have it all figured out. Humility is the posture that enables us to hear God's voice. So here's how we do that. Here's how we, like, because what's funny is this all ties together, because Jesus said this over and over and over. He said, let him who has ears, what? Hear. Now, I mean, I don't believe in always a literal translation of the Bible, because obviously Jesus isn't talking to a bunch of people without ears, right? He's saying, hey, let he who has ears hear. And they're probably going, that's all of us, but that one dude. Like, but he's saying, hey, y'all have ears, but you're not listening to me. We need to posture ourselves. So the same goes for us, right? Don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers. If we're gonna walk in humility, if we're gonna walk in hearing his voice, one, we have to acknowledge our need for him. You see, pride will fill your ears with your own voice. Humility fills them with his. We have to submit to his word. In James it says, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. God has spoken to us time and time again. There's so many times where we're like, Lord, what? Just say it to me and speak it to me and I'll do it. And he's going, yeah, I did. There's 66 books right here. I've said it here. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't still speak to us, because obviously he does, but there's a lot of things he's already said and it's right here. And we're like, well, what about this? And he goes, it's right here. No, but I need you to tell it to me fresh. I need to hear it from you. And he goes, I wrote every word of that. Look here. True humility means accepting God's word even when it challenges us. We also have to be willing, if we're going to be humble and we're going to be open to hearing his voice, we have to be willing to change directions. Willing to go, okay, that's a second road closed sign. Let's not get to the fourth. Let's be willing to go, hey, I think we can go this way. Or we're going in a direction that the Lord has previously called us on, and we're confident and we're going, and you're almost there, and the Lord says, okay, now I want you to do that. And you're like, but Lord, we were so close. We were right there. I almost had the thing that you wanted me to have. And he said, yeah, I know, but now I want you to go here. Humility goes, okay, Lord, I trusted you to go that far. I'm going to trust you to change direction. Invite God to search you. This is one of my favorite verses in Psalm 139. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Invite God to search you. This is not like about guilt and being sin conscious. It's not like, Lord, just search me and show me that sin and I'll... No, what you're saying is, Lord, I'm humble enough to know that I can't see everything correctly. I want you to search me, because there are probably things that I don't even know that exist and that are in me that I've buried. There's hurt, there's pain, there's all those things that, and I'm blinded to those. And sometimes he'll just show you those things. Sometimes your wife will just show you those things through the Holy Spirit. You know, you're like, thanks, Lord. I asked you to search me, not her. But you're saying, Lord, search me. I'm not blind to the fact that there are things that I don't know about myself. There are things that I do that I'm oblivious to. And so I'm saying, Lord, would you just search me? Walk in dependence on him through prayer. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. This one's going to hurt, all right? So brace yourself. The amount of time you spend in prayer is equivalent to the level of pride you are full of. That one hurt. You're like, man, I'm not a very prideful person. And then you're like, oh, but I don't pray that much either. Son of a gun, maybe I am pretty prideful because I think I can do it myself. The amount of time you spend in prayer is equivalent to the level of pride that you're full of. Yeah, good one to end on. We want to be a people that thing, I'm going to get a new one. If you want me to, Lord. If you want me to. Yeah, it's closed. I got to keep putting it up with that. But we want to be a people that long to hear his voice. And the way to do that is to be humble, to walk in humility, to acknowledge our need for him. To submit to his word, to cling to every word that he says, and then to be obedient. To listen is to hear and to obey. If you didn't respond, then you didn't listen. And so many times we're waiting for that next thing for him to tell us to do, and he's sitting there going, you still haven't done the first thing that I've told you. Why do you want step two? You've been on step one for 7 years. I'm going to just close with prayer. So, Father, we thank you that you don't give up. Your love never runs out on us. You never grow tired of us. You love us. Thank you that you never leave us full of our pride, but you always call us deeper, call us to walk in humility. You never abandon us. Holy Spirit, would you teach us this week how to walk in humility? We love you. We love you. Amen.